Welcome to the official SBGAN podcast, hosted by Dr. Alex Nicely.
Welcome to a very special podcast, listeners out there. Today, we're recording the 100th podcast that your society, SBGAN, has organized and sponsored. And we have, as the person being interviewed, the newly inaugurated president of SBGAN, Professor Ana Maria Staiano. La professoressa, la dottoressa Ana Maria Staiano, è una figlia di Napoli. Now, I hope that Dr. Staiano will excuse my bad pronunciation. I was trying to say that she is a daughter of Naples, and she has always been loyal to the city in which she was born, where she was educated as a physician, and where she now holds a chair in pediatrics at the Università degli Studi di Napoli Federico II. She spent several years in St. Louis, Missouri, where she undertook subspecialty training in pediatric gastroenterology. We here in this podcast have the opportunity to meet her and to learn from her what ambitions and hopes she has for SBGAN during the year of her presidency and beyond, but also how she has shaped her life and her career, not simply to balance clinical caregiving with academic research, but also by taking part in service to SBGAN and its members, by guiding and advancing the society and its aims. And I think that to learn from her how she has done that, what she has aimed at, can only be valuable to those coming up, the rising young people of SBGAN. Professor Staiano, welcome to, in a very real sense, to your podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the nice introduction. And your Italian sounds perfect. So, for
Oh, you were such a liar.
No, for sure it's better than my English. So.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you like the average member to know about you and about your approach to pediatric gastroenterology?
Yeah. I have a long history with the SBGAN. I became a member in 1986, and I decided to become a member of SBGAN mainly due to my deep interest in the field of pediatric gastroenterology. I wanted at the time to be part of the SBGAN since it represented a leading community dedicated to advancing the care of children with gastrointestinal, liver, and nutritional disorders. Indeed, already at the time, SBGAN offered a privileged access to the latest research, clinical guidelines, and educational opportunities, which are essential for staying at the forefront of pediatric GI. Additionally, being a member allowed me to collaborate with experts across Europe and beyond, and to stay engaged with innovation that directly impacted patient care. As already I said, I have a long history with the SBGAN. From 2005 to 2007, I was a member of the Gastroenterology Committee. From 2008 to 2011, I was the chair of the GI Committee. Then, from 2015 to 2021, I served the SBGAN as a treasurer during the presidency of Ranan Shamir and Sanja Kolacek. For my several activities for the society, in 2023, I had the privilege to be honored with the Distinguished Service Award. Since SBGAN gave so much to my personal life and to my career, I saw the role as a president as a unique opportunity to give something back to my community, helping to guide the society with my experience through the evolving challenge and future opportunities. Additionally, what motivated me more to take on the role of Espegan president was a deep sense of responsibility and passion for advocating child health across Europe and beyond. I have seen firsthand how Espegan has the power to shape clinical care, support young professionals, and influence policy at national and international levels. Summarizing, leading this society is both an honor and an opportunity to give back.
Well, Professor Stajano, what do you see as some of the challenges or some of the opportunities, viewing them either way, that stand before Espegan in the coming year?
You know, over the last decades, the Espegan has become one of the most worldwide prestigious and influential scientific societies, continuously increasing in an unforeseen and unprecedented way the number of members. Our annual meetings and educational events have become attractive not only for Europeans, but also to a growing number of colleagues coming from the United States, South America, Asia, and more remote regions of the world. These extraordinary results certainly represent an impressive achievement, but on the other side introduce new responsibilities and several challenges that need to be faced. During my presidency, I will do my best to continue the work of my predecessors in facilitating and improving the scientific and the educational activities dedicated to the young and less young colleagues. I will try to be as much inclusive as possible in the management of the society, giving space to the new enthusiastic generation, the young Espegan, but also taking advantages and advices from the senior members. I will keep in mind the three pillars of the Espegan mission: education, research, and advocacy as the priorities of my activity. With regard to the advocacy, an additional aim of my presidency will be to reinforce the network with the European Union in order to gain political influences for healthcare of children with GI problems and to benefit from the funding opportunities. As I said, I will keep with my priorities research. I plan to promote basic science, clinical research, and multi-center investigation, continuing reinforcing the society investment for grants and fellowship. On the other hand, I will also strengthen the relationship with industries, which represent an exceptional source of scientific development and financial support, establishing a relationship based on trust, respect, honesty, and transparency. And last, but not last, education. Education is at the heart of the Espegan mission. With the rapid pace of medical advancement, it is vital that we continue to provide high-quality educational opportunities for our members, trainees, and clinicians worldwide. Besides the cited aims, it's my intention to always keep alive the flame of the friendship, which is which has characterized the relationship of Vespigan members and must remain the founding landmark of our society, despite its growth and the need for change required by these difficult times.
I'm particularly intrigued by Vespigan as an advocate for child health. I can research through increasing the stringency of, for example, Journal of Pediatric Gastroenterology and Nutrition, by increasing the value of the perceived value, at least, of the communications published therein. That certainly will promote research, as will funding measures on which you've touched. And there's teaching that I think that Vespigan takes care of very much in-house, with seminars, with courses, with other chances for members to draw from that knowledge of older, more proficient persons, and to take that knowledge back to where they practice. But advocacy. A very simple question. Does Vespigan maintain an office in Strasbourg, in Brussels? How does Vespigan interact with the European Union powers that be?
Yeah, to outsourced professionals who are in touch with the European Union. We don't have an office in Brussels, but we are engaged with professionals who take care of, represents the needs of the pediatric GI population at level of the European Parliament and other important institutions. And we have also special committees, such as the public affairs committees, with members dedicated in advocacy for important issues related to child health.
A public affairs committee.
Yeah.
I'm exposing my ignorance here, but what was most recently taken up by the Public Affairs Committee of Vespigan, and what results did Espigan's advocacy have? I'm asking, in effect, for an anecdote or two.
You know, for example, Public Affairs Committee was involved as all the governing body of Vespigan was involved in an open day to disseminate news about the risk of button battery. So there was,
yes,
an open day and widespread knowledge about the pediatric GI community, and not just pediatric GI, but general pediatrician, about the risk for children of using electronic device with button batteries. So it's one of the mission of the Vespigan is to disseminate the correct, the right knowledge in order to improve the child health, because our mission is to maintain the best child health, especially in the field of pediatric GI nutrition and hepatology.
Well, that sounds like a very full plate indeed. Let me think a little bit more about the idea of advocacy and the idea of promotion of child health, particularly as it has to do with gastroenterologic issues. It strikes me that there may be, in Europe, less cross-border sharing of facilities than might be at the moment ideal, that medical payment systems might stand in the way of transporting a child to where he or she could benefit from the best expertise available. Is that something that you see as a potential problem?
You know, depends on the countries, because there are some countries where it is possible to take care of foreign children, foreign means out of the border without charging anything to the sending countries. So it's all based on the expenses of the host country. But for other European countries, the system is not the same. So still there are some country differences. And this is why we are connected, we are engaged with the president of the national societies in order to offer the same welfare, also to do our efforts to offer the same quality of care all over European countries, and is our dream also behind Europe.
I have been impressed, personally speaking, at how much care is provided to Albania by Italian medical institutions. How many, put it this way, as a histopathologist, a hepatopathologist, some of the most interesting cases that I've seen have been in referral from Italy, and the child was actually born to Albanian parents who sought care there. So it is possible. It is possible for...
It's possible, yeah.
It's possible. And indeed, it's salutary. And of course, with the influx of persons from North Africa and beyond, we're seeing disorders that we hadn't expected to see again, not in our lifetimes. It's an amazing web of connections and of favors and of mutual assistance that ESPGHAN navigates and that ESPGHAN attempts to strengthen and to establish. I'm going to mention, just for the benefit of those at home, the two articles that you recommended to me some while ago as reflecting your best efforts as a clinician scientist. One of them was from Gastroenterology in 2006, and the actual PubMed reference is given in the documentation that will accompany this podcast, Childhood Functional Gastrointestinal Disorders in Children and Adolescents by Jeffrey Hyams et others. And the other article that you recommended to me as some of the work with which you were happiest is indeed also on the same topic, which is the ESPGHAN Revised Porto Criteria for the Diagnosis of Inflammatory Bowel Disease in Children and Adolescents. Working from Porto 3 to Porto 4, tell us a little bit about what the field was like before these efforts in which you participated and how you have seen the understanding and management of inflammatory bowel disease progress as you've come along during the years.
You know, in the last decade, we are facing the big problem of the huge increase of prevalence and incidence of inflammatory bowel disease. And unfortunately, also the age of diagnosis is decreasing year after year. We can see very young children, even infants, affected by this chronic disease. It is very frustrating, debilitating for both the patients and for the parents. One of the most active working group is the Porto group, that face the problem of the increase of inflammatory bowel disease in pediatrics. Mm-hmm. And the Porto group is very active in putting together, in creating guidelines, position paper, in order to harmonize the treatment, the diagnosis, the treatment along, across the different countries. So in some way, we are going back to what you said before. Once we have these guidelines, we try through the communication to widespread these documents that are evidence-based medicine, are not just related to the opinion to, based on the work of opinion leaders in the field. But during the creation of these guidelines, the most important with the high scientific impact papers will be evaluated. And based on these evidence-based medicine, there is an agreement among the opinion leaders on how children with IBD should have the correct diagnosis and the best treatment. So, and the Porto criteria are continuously updating because the technological innovation is giving us year after year new diagnostic tools, new drugs, and so we need to revise the criteria for both for diagnosis and for treatment.
This is lovely because it's a perfect example, a capsule example of what Espigan and what your efforts have been able to accomplish. And that's definitely a singular you as well as a you, the leaders of Espigan, a plural you. I just want to make that clear. But we come now back to the singular you. And that is, we have run out of time, I'm sorry to say, for this podcast. And we do want to end on a contribution of something else that's personal to you. And that is a song that means something to you and that you think might mean something to the listeners to this podcast. Have you chosen a song?
I chose the song Torna Sorrento. It means come back to Sorrento. And there is a reason why my choice, because I am the scientific chair of the upcoming meeting on pediatric IBD, which will be held in next October. And this meeting will be held in Sorrento. So I was thinking to the organization of the meeting and thinking to a song, I said, come back to Sorrento, okay? Torna Sorrento, okay?
I'm sorry that we don't have a video clip because you have certainly made me smile with that choice. Thank you so much for the chance to speak with you and to introduce you and your work to Espigan's members.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.